1 Chronicles 16:34, God is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. God is good, and He's still on the throne. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job would tell us. On behalf of Catherine and her sons, Luke and John, and all the elders, thank you for praying. Thanks for your words of encouragement. Thanks for loving Mike. Thanks for loving the Hicksons for many years. He'll be greatly missed. Many of you can give testimony that you came to this church. One of the reasons you came to this church was because of Mike's preaching. I want to take a few minutes and briefly share with us some words of hope in such a time as this. This is the Graham family. This is the church that Mike loved. He dedicated his life to, faithfully preaching the Word of God. Our hearts are grieving and hurting and heavy. We're shocked because this is so unexpected. There was no reason to think that his life would end so soon. Humanly speaking, we can't make sense of this. When we face hard times, there's a sense in which we feel confused, even lost. This can't be real. It's got to be a bad dream. We've lost someone that has shepherded our souls and faithfully fed us the Word of God for many years. For me and my family, we've been underneath his preaching for 25 years. And I've worked alongside of Mike 22 of those years right here in the office. It's a huge loss. Mike had, of course, plans this morning concerning this service. He had planned on reciting the first question of the Heidelberg Catechism. And I think it's still fitting for us. Listen to this. Here's the question. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Answer, that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Mike did not belong to himself. He belonged to Jesus Christ. You and I do not belong to ourselves. We belong to Jesus Christ. The answer goes on and says, He, Jesus, has fully paid for all my sins and His precious blood, and He has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. So what would Mike say to us right now? What words would he want to communicate to us? I think many of you know. You have heard him for multiple years. And what he would say is he would take the truth of God's scriptures and he would answer this question, what does God have to say? We want to hear from God this morning. This is our source of hope. This is our source of comfort. What does God have to say? And then he would preach to us and explain the word very plainly and clearly. And he would point us to Christ. And he would point us to the gospel. I was able to get my hands on Mike's sermon that he was going to preach this morning. And I thought, why not maybe preach his last sermon? Condensed, a summarized version of what he was planning on delivering to us this morning. So this is Mike, mostly Mike, small adaptations. Peace, he was going to preach on Philippians 4:1 through 9. Listen to this. Peace and joy are exactly what God offers to those who are in Christ. Believers are commanded to be joyful and be at peace. God insists that followers of Jesus have a freedom from turmoil and conflict in our hearts, an attitude marked by contentment and satisfaction and delight. What are the prerequisites to peace? Paul gives us three of them. First, joy. In verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. He says it twice for emphasis. What is even more striking is the word always. It's always right to rejoice. Even this morning. This focus on always means that Christians can have joy in anything. And it does not depend on pleasant circumstances. We can always rejoice in the Lord because what we have in Christ cannot fade, spoil, or expire. No one can steal our joy because no one can take away our victory in Christ. Number two, graciousness. Verse 5, let your graciousness be known to all. The Lord is near. The opposite of graciousness is, of course, harshness and an uncaring attitude. Here's the point. If you are contentious, if you are angry, you won't have peace. Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. The Lord is at hand. The Philippians can be kind and peaceful because they know Jesus is coming back to set all things right, even death. Number three, freedom from worry. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Freedom from worry is an inner calm. Not just an absence of worry, but a presence of stability. It's more than just the absence of fear and worry. It's the presence of gratitude, a thankful heart. Paul is saying, make requests to God with thanksgiving. Your life is to be encircled in prayer, soul-cleansing prayer that is thankful. It is impossible to overcome anxiety and have a life marked by the peace of God without saturating your heart and life with prayer. God has designed and ordained and planned and promised that He will act for us when we pray. God has promised to do things for us that we cannot do when we pray. When we go before God, confess our sins, worship Him, give thanks for His grace, and plead for Him to act on our behalf. It's very important here to see that thankful prayer prepares our hearts and minds to be guarded by the peace of God in Christ Jesus. Being thankful means that we will be content and grateful for whatever God lovingly and wisely gives us or even takes away from us. We know that He will hear our prayer and wisely and give us what is best. Do we believe that? So thank Him. As you make requests, as you pray, and you pray as in the coming days for the Hicksons, for the church family. Thank Him as you make requests. Paul says, you're never going to have peace and be content unless you make your requests. That means acknowledge that your life is in His hands, and you thank Him for whatever He's going to do. You thank Him, thank God that He's working everything for good in your life. Absolutely everything, even the hard things, even the things that God hates. He's going to weave it all together for your good and His glory. God is going to weave all this that we're experiencing right now for our good and His glory. When you're thankful, you realize that it's all of grace. I deserve nothing, and I'm grateful for all things in God's hands. So when you have joy, graciousness, a worry-free heart with thanksgiving, this will produce supreme peace. It will guard our hearts and minds. It's not just the absence of some thoughts. It's the presence of God Himself. He's with us. God's peace will do it. That's the peace of God surrounding you, standing guard over your heart and mind. That's what the peace of God is. So how do we get it? How do we get it? Verses 8 and 10. Here's how we find peace with God. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there are any moral excellence, if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you all. So Mike's answer is think right. Think right. A mind that is filled with thoughts will have little space for an anxiety-producing, peace-destroying, joy-stealing thoughts. And Mike had to come up with that line because I never would have. You are what you think about, right? This is going to shape us. What are we going to think about in the days to come? It's in our minds that we are shaped. Our affections are stirred and our wills are directed. It is crucial that we learn to think about the right things and think in the right way. The Christian mind is a mind that thinks about all things with God in the center. Paul is saying, let me tell you what to think about. He's given us a prescription for the days ahead. What are we to be thinking about? There's eight things there that give us plenty to think about. If you're a Christian, you have within you the power to obey every command in this passage. You can literally change your mind if you want to. How? By remembering all that is best and embodied in a person. And I'm speaking of Jesus Christ. If you link yourself with Him, you are joined with the highest moral power in the universe. He is the embodiment of everything Paul has commanded us to do. It is all in Jesus. All virtue, all beauty, holiness, all truth, all that is good and right is found in Jesus. This isn't some abstract philosophy, but a call to a personal relationship. Think right, you can in Christ. The key here is Paul's God. Or we could say Mike's God. He keeps his eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just in God, but in Christ Jesus. The way that you and I have peace is in Christ Jesus. To have your heart in Christ Jesus. To find Him attractive. To love Him and fill your heart. That's the only way you're going to find peace and tranquility and joy. If you love anything more than God, if you live for anything more than God, then your life is going to be like a tossing sea, constantly churning up mud, mire, and mess. It won't be quiet, and it won't be at peace. So how do we have peace? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That doesn't mean that God made Jesus sinful, no. It means that on the cross, God treated Jesus Christ as if He was me, as if He was you, as if He was sinful. He treated sinners as sinners deserve, as we deserve. What does that mean? On the cross, He got all the consequences of what we have done, including anxiety and restlessness. He did that so that you and we can have peace. Peace with God. When you stay focused on that, when you keep your eyes on what He did to purchase us on the cross, When you think about security and a future he bought for us at Calvary, it produces the peace of God which nothing in this world can steal from you. Mike's end, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you.